And this is January. This is the time of quiet and introspection. Some of us have set New Year's resolutions, whether this year or in the past, and by now, three quarters of the way through the month, some of us have decided those resolutions weren't really that important, right? I titled this Good Intentions? Because I struggled when Ricky first asked me to give a sermon and suggested that it be during this month, and the theme was intention, because I know that's one of my personal areas that need work, shall we say, and we'll get to a few of those as we go along. So these are very much my thoughts on intentions, intentionally. We use the word intention to mean the goal, the desired outcome, and the word intentional to mean something done deliberately, on purpose. There's a definite emphasis on the will of the person expressing the intention of performing the act. And one of the ideas that I've become aware of recently, one of the phrases that seems to circulate, is that of living intentionally. Which, when I bother to go look it up and see what it actually meant, means being aware of one's fundamental beliefs and behaving in accordance with them. It's the exact opposite of accidental. But intending to do something and being intentional are not at all the same thing. And I had that difference highlighted for me very clearly earlier this week. The occasion was sadly a funeral, one which I had known for some time would be being held. The person whose life had been approaching its end wasn't someone I knew personally, but I did know his youngest son fairly intimately. And through his son, I knew that this man's health, both physical and mental, had been declining rapidly over the past year. Then last week, as we all had been expecting for some time, at the age of 93, just short of 94, he did die. Now, obviously, I had known this was coming. It was not a surprise. And I knew that when it did happen, I would be attending the funeral. And in fact, some time ago, I realized that when it happened, it would be the third Catholic funeral mass that I had attended in the past year, even though I'm not Catholic. What does this have to do with intentions? Just this. When I went to get dressed on the morning of the funeral, I discovered I could not button my suit trousers. And this wasn't really a surprise. I'd been aware that it had been difficult the last time I had worn the suit. And now, despite my intention to lose weight, or at least to get a new suit, it was impossible. I'd meant to, I'd intended to, but I hadn't actually done it, which is what I meant about the difference being highlighted for me. While good intentions may be necessary, they are not sufficient. Right thoughts are only the second step in the Buddhist Eightfold Way, but if they do not become right actions, the fourth step, then they are only breath on the air. So when I use the phrase living intentionally, I don't just mean having good intentions, and I also don't mean living mindfully, although that is important. Mindfulness has more to do with maintaining a state of heightened awareness of one's thoughts and emotions and experiences on a moment-to-moment basis. Mindfulness is now focused. Living intentionally is then focused. Doing in the now what is necessary to achieve the results desired then. And it's the coupling of the thoughts with the actions that's crucial to obtaining those results. And that coupling is done through conscious decisions. The most important aspect of living intentionally is realizing that our lives are made up of choices. Every day, we get to make choices, decisions about what to do, what to feel, effectively who we are going to be that day. And it starts with the attitude we decide to adopt. And if we don't decide to be positive, the world will give us plenty of excuses to be negative. But beyond that first decision, what should be the basis for the myriad of choices, the conscious decisions that we're going to have to make during the day, unless we're simply going to sleepwalk through the day? To live intentionally, I believe, it is essential to define the purpose or purposes for our lives. Whether we choose deliberately or not, our lives all have their purpose expressed in what we do. You know the saying, actions speak louder than words. It's true. We hear our own actions, and consciously or not, we weigh our actions against our ideal selves. Which is why it's vital that we make the choice of a purpose for our life, a deliberate one. That we identify what we want our lives to be and to say to others, but especially to ourselves. For without our own purpose, we leave it to others to provide the yardsticks against which we will measure ourselves. Parents, peers, advertisers. They may not, and certainly that last one does not, have our best interests in mind when they tell us how we should act. And they will constantly tell us how we should act. What we should like, what we should wear, what we should eat, where we should go. There are messages coming to us all the time about those things. Messages sent by others for their own reasons. But once we have our own purpose, then we can decide what actions we're going to take. However, we need to set goals to accomplish the purpose. Goals clarify and motivate us. They remind us why we're doing something we might find less than pleasant at the moment we're doing it, or in some cases, not doing it, like not staying up too late reading a novel when you have to work in the morning. Not that I would know anything about that. And obviously, goals can be small or large, or to at least some others, impossible. But by setting goals, we give ourselves direction, something by which to steer, a basis for deciding this way or that when faced with all the choices of what to do with all the time in our day. And without those goals, without a purpose we're trying to accomplish, we drift. And drifting is easy. The modern Western world does two things extremely well. It reduces the amount of work necessary to survive. And it provides endless ways to put the time and attention no longer needed for working to other uses. From television to Twitter, from films to Facebook, one can spend an entire day feeling engaged without actually doing anything. Certainly not anything that moves in the direction of anything worthwhile. Another confession, I play a lot of games. And I found one company that makes computer games that I like, so I play theirs a lot. How much? Their games have a menu interface that keeps track, so I know. In the 6 months since I've started playing their latest big release, I've logged 577 hours. That's 20% of my waking hours over that period. Can you say time sink? But it's so easy. And my brain is engaged. While I'm playing, I have to think and react constantly. The mental stimulation is real. It's just that at the end of the game, nothing got done. And nothing else did either. All the other things I could or would or should have been doing are left undone. All my good intentions notwithstanding. So how do I turn I intend into I did intentionally do? First, I have to realize that it is intentional. I have to decide to act and not just acquiesce to my natural lethargy, not be distracted by all the external banalities clamoring for my attention on screen or otherwise. And second, I have to have a mental picture of what I want to be, how I want to be. And while I can make up my own, it is much easier and I believe more effective if I have a real world model, a role model. So I try to identify people in my life who are behaving in the ways that I want to behave, people who are successfully accomplishing their goals and purposes. I want to study and learn from them, to emulate them, not necessarily in their goals, but in their behaviors that allow them to accomplish them, how they turn their intentions into action. And of course, if they're engaged in the kinds of things that I want to be doing, so much the better. The rubric is easy. Identify purpose, define goals, decide actions, act. It's the implementation that's hard. As von Clausewitz said regarding a very different area of human endeavor, even the easy things are hard. But that's the blessing or the curse of conscience and consciousness, that we're able to distinguish between good and bad actions and outcomes and decide to act in ways that support the good or at least suppress the bad, and that we're able to recognize when we do the exact opposite, at which point we start to head into the territory of forgiveness. And that's a whole different sermon. I'd like to take just a couple of minutes to allow for personal reflection on intention and the three questions are: what is my purpose? What are my goals? And am I intentionally acting to achieve them? What is my purpose? What are my goals? Am I intentionally acting to achieve them? And when you're ready, or bored enough, to open your eyes. But if you'd please rise in body or spirit. Speaking of doing something, we'll sing hymn 121, We'll Build a Land.